Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Jam-packed hour ahead on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. We've got some No Way, No Doubt coming up in just a little bit. For the final half an hour, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I'm broadcasting from, Mike Palm is going to join us. We'll get the latest on Circa Survivor and the Circa Millions contest, as well as Palm's Pressing 3, which we do every Thursday. But Michael, where we're going to start out this hour is, of course, Thursday night football, because I don't want to bury the lead here. We got 2-7 versus 1-7, Michael. This would be the worst Thursday night game in terms of combined record since 2018 San Francisco and Oakland. So we're really living it up tonight. But that's what betting is for. So we have reasons to watch, and we're going to have some fun.
And it'll still be a fun game to watch. And they'll tease us with next week, Baltimore-Cincinnati. Cincinnati come to Baltimore. I mean, look, you got to give them a stinker to get a great one, right? And they got one, right? So I think to me, that's part of this. And look, I think sometimes when a team plays as poorly as the Bears have this year, there's some things that get lost in the shuffle, right? And this Bear defense against the run is the best team in the National Football League. They're very challenging to run the ball on. New Orleans didn't want to run the ball on them either. Now, you can throw it on them, which then puts Bryce Young into play. Can he throw it on them? That becomes the question. And can this Carolina Panther offensive line, which has struggled mightily all season, can they protect? And then that leads us to the Bears. You know, the Panthers played good defense last week. They held the Colts to their lowest output offensively of any team in the National Football League, including the Cleveland Browns. Now, they lost the game because they gave up two pick sixes.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is the Panthers are playing better, too, even without some of their players like C.J. Henderson and Brian Burns. And they're able, and they don't even have Shaq Thompson in there. He was hurt earlier in the season. So they're playing better defensively. So are the Bears. The unders in play, 22-7. Primetime unders so far this have happened. We know that's the way it's going to go. But to me, I think it's an interesting game. Both teams are fighting for the one spot, but the key motivation, Stormy, the most critical motivation of this game is for the Bears to beat the Panthers, because it just gives them a higher draft pick.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. These are two teams that are obviously historically going to be linked for a long time coming. The Carolina Panthers electing to make a trade to get the top overall selection last year and get Bryce Young, so the Bears owners of their first round pick this season. You mentioned Brian Burns out with a concussion, as well as C.J. Henderson unavailable. D.J. Chark also doubtful after tweaking his elbow injury for the Panthers. No Laviska Shenault either in that wide receiver room. They are expecting to at least get one reinforcement back on defense, which will be good. Safety Von Bell, listen, is questionable, but he's expected to come back. Then for the Bears, we mentioned off the top of the show earlier, but of course, Bears repeating, because this line did get up to 4 with the thought process this week that Justin Fields was going to be back in play. He will not, with the dislocated thumb. We're going to get Tyson Bagent yet again. Khalil Herbert's been on injured reserve with an ankle injury. His window is open, technically listed as questionable, but most reports I've seen is that he'll be unavailable. But Deonte Foreman has been great anyways. Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds still week to week, and offensive lineman Nate Davis is trending up, but he's still unavailable as of today. So those are the big key injuries to be aware of in this game. You talked about the Panthers, the Bears defense rather, that they are a defense that you can pass the ball on. Their pass defense has been really, really rough over the course of this season. Adam Thielen has been the go-to guy for Bryce Young to this point, and his passing yards prop, Michael, I've seen anywhere from around 68.5 to 72.5. Do you think that he's a guy that will get fed again after last week being really his only down week of the season so far?
You know, I think they're going to have to, right? I mean, that's got to be the key for them. Look, the one thing when you're two bad teams, you got to give the best players the chance to make the plays, right? And I think that's kind of where this is. And both teams kind of try to take away from the other. But I think it's smart to play that. I don't see why you wouldn't, Stormy.
Okay. I was curious because I know our guy, Harry Gagnon, brought that up yesterday, and I was looking into the numbers a little bit more this morning. He's gone over that number in 5 of the last 6 games, double-digit targets in the last 4. Like, he is the guy that Bryce Young feels really, really comfortable getting the ball to. So if you can find the lower end of that number, I don't see a problem firing on it, and I think I might as well. And then as far as, of course, the under goes in this game, we've talked about it a lot, but this feels like another primetime under type of a play. I played it just a little bit more conservatively going the first half route. I feel like that plays safe in my mind that they're going to be a little bit of a slower pace to start. And then whoever's trailing going to have to try a little bit harder there in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, look, Frank Wright's teams are not very good in the first half. I mean, the Colts in 0-2 or 0-9 in the first half against the spread. So, you know, you're really playing the right thing here. The Panthers are 0-4 against the spread this year, total. I mean, and, you know, they don't really play well when they go on the road. So I think, to me, that you're playing into the trends. And one of the things I've learned about trends are, if you like something before you hear the trend, it reinforces you to make that play.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect example. I mean, the Colts weren't a good first quarter team, first half team, and neither are Frank Wright's Carolina Panthers.
Primetime unders on the season, 21-7, 10-1 since week 6, 161, 102, and 3 since 2019. So 61% over the last 5 years. And first half unders for the league, 85, 65, and 3 in night games since 2021. Panthers, by the way, 5-3 to the under this year. And the last 5 home primetime games for Chicago all went under as well. We talked about the line move in this game, Michael.
I think that's 22-7. I think that Charger game went under
a
little bit. Right?
You're right.
You're right.
I don't know why I keep on.
I think it's 22.
I've got the
7.
21 stuck in my brain. But how could we forget Chargers Jets, Michael? It was such a good win. All I know, Michael, is that tonight, if Al Michaels does not have a tie on and it is not root scoot and booted, we riot because that is what we need tonight.
Yeah. We're going to need something, but it's going to be under 50 degrees, and maybe he goes sweater. Oh. That's the problem. And if he goes sweater, it doesn't count. You just go to the next game. You're just going to have to go to the next one. He was sweater last week. I fully expect tie this week. I'm be disappointed if he doesn't go to a tie.
I will be too.
I mean, he's got to gear up, too. Look, next week is the big one. I mean, they'll be talking about next. Oh, we get Jason Kelce in the booth tonight, too. Don't you know this?
I did not know that. That's more reasons to watch. That'll be good.
They're going to bring Jason Kelce into the booth and let him do some color commentary along with Herbie. So that ought to be good. That ought to be really good. So, and meanwhile, his brothers, you know, they're on the bye week. His brother's going down to Argentina to go to concerts. I mean, the world's all around Kelce. We can't avoid it. There's no chance.
They're constantly in the news, killing it with the podcast, all the things. But that does give you another reason to enjoy this game. What are you going to do? And for Al Michaels, you know, just continue because he hasn't already enough in his career, paying his dues with another bad game before the big one coming up next week. So we mentioned the line move that's in this game, Michael. There are a lot of them, though, that have taken hold over the course of this last week. And one team that we've already talked about, the Baltimore Ravens, like, they've continued to be pretty steadily bet here against the Browns, all the way up to 6.5-point favorites now against Cleveland. Does that surprise you that they've taken that much action early?
No, because I think, you know, like, every time I want to bet Cleveland, I think about Deshaun Watson, you know, and I think about, oh my, how the Ravens have done a good job of playing against these bad teams, you know. Now, one of the things I think when you see a line move really a lot, I think you have to kind of, when it goes from lines that go from dogs to favorites are always the ones that seem to be the most profitable lines you can play. You're right. You know, when you open up as a dog and you become the favorite, you want to go against it. But in this case, when it moves slightly, that's another read. But when it moves like 2 or 3 points, then all of a sudden you've got to real worry about that one, because you think you're getting the best number. You think you're getting a number and, you know, everybody's on your side and you feel reinforced. But that's not always the case. You end up losing that.
Well, you mentioned that dog to favorite. The Tennessee Titans opened early on getting 1.5 in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Now they're laying 1. They opened 1.5. They've gone back and forth between pick 'em, laying 1, getting 1. Where do you think that line's going to end?
Well, look, I think this. I think it'll end up Tennessee, right? But here's what's happened. Teams that have gone from dogs to favorite since 2019 are 45-84 against the spread. This year, it's 9-12. Now, what qualifies for this? This week in Week 10, the Saints qualify for it, right? The Lions qualify for it. The Bucks and the Colts, believe it or not, right? The Colts, believe it or not. Now, you know, when you start looking at that, you say, okay, I like all those teams. I like the Colts. Okay, 45-84. Do I really like the Colts? I like Tennessee. You know, that may be a good play because I'm going against the 45-84. The Chargers, you like them? Because that's where the side is. The pros are all over. The dish line moved 2 points. It moved 4 points, basically. The Chargers were the favorite, and then it went to one, and now it's at three, and it might go to 3.5. This morning when I woke up, there was 1% of the money was on the Chargers. 1%.
I like the Lions, too. But that's what we talk about. Like, it doesn't make you feel good when that's the way that it is, when everybody's thinking the same way.
Right, but 57% of the public has won this year. So this is a little bit of a different year in the sense of, you know, going to the book is not having the greatest of years. They'll have good weeks, but eventually that'll change. We know that. The other line the number I wanted to hit you with was that when the line moves 3 points in a direction, right? That you basically are going, you're going to be 18-27-2 in that. And from the start of last year, it's 57-87-3. So that's not profitable for you either. Indy's in that category. Detroit's in that category. New Orleans is in that category. Houston's in that category.
Another 3-point swing. The Cowboys from 13.5 to 16.5, and everybody is betting Dallas. I don't know if I can get there, but I certainly can't take it with the Giants either.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, VSiN and DraftKings Network. Remember, everybody, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay any day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS. That's V-E-G-A-S when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, Michael, we got some piping hot bets to discuss here, and we're going to start with the Buffalo Bills, who have dropped 3 of their last 5 games. They have not looked like the contender that we thought that they were going to. No way or no doubt, Michael, the injuries to this defense will be too much to overcome, and they will miss the playoffs this season. What do you think?
No way. I mean, they got Josh Allen still, and he's a good, can cover up a lot of their problems. And they've got a lot of veteran guys on their team. The locker room's fairly strong. I don't anticipate there being a meltdown. I mean, today Bernard was in a red jersey because he's hurt. So they have a lot of injuries defensively. But we've seen worse defenses make it, especially if the offense comes around. Now, the concern is where I would go, no doubt they won't make it, is this shoulder injury. He's not thrown the ball very well down the field. Hasn't had made plays over 20 yards. It's been a problem for him. So for me, you know, I'm saying this assuming he's going to get healthy. But right now, he doesn't look healthy.
The shoulder, Michael, and I would say also combine that with the upcoming schedule, ain't a walk in the park either. So even money right now to miss the playoffs, -120 to make. So they are still favored to be a postseason team in the AFC. But Denver, okay. Jets, okay. But then at Philly, at Kansas City, they've got the Cowboys in LA against the Chargers, who knows really what we're going to get there, New England, and then at Miami. So it's, like I said, it's a mixed bag, but not a walk in the park by any means.
No, not a walk in the park by any means. I mean, but, you know, look, you got to beat somebody to get in, but you're right. It's going to be hard for him to carry. And if they start losing anybody else, you know, this offensive line isn't even good either, Stormy. So if they start losing other players, it's a real issue, too.
All right, let's go to Minnesota. The Vikings started out this season 1-4, have since flipped the script. They've won four of their last five, including, five of their last six, including four straight. And even with Kirk Cousins out with the Achilles injury, Josh Dobbs steps in only 5 days with the team, hasn't taken a single rep, goes out there and leads a game-winning drive for them to win yet again. Justin Jefferson's going to be back at some point with this team as well. No way or no doubt the Vikings will turn this thing around and make the playoffs this season.
I say no way because they have no running game. Josh Dobbs is prone to fumble the football. And if you remember when he was in Arizona, when they lost James Conner, they couldn't run the ball. He struggled. Now, he's had 11 fumbles himself this year, three last week for the Vikings. The Vikings as a football team have fumbled the ball 17 times already this year. They've lost 12. I don't know where they're going to get the offense from. I really don't. And I know Dobbs, it's a nice story. I don't like the I would typically want to take the Saints this week. I don't know how you can because I don't trust the Saints on the road. Plus, the Saints have played one of the easiest schedule in the NFL. So that might be another win, but I just don't see them as a playoff team, Stormy.
Okay, so not biting on the plus 125 to make the playoffs. They're minus 165 to miss. All I know is your girl needs them to get over the 8.5 win threshold because I put it in the guide and I need the lucky rabbit's foot to continue at least a little bit longer for Minnesota. The AFC North, Michael, we've talked about it. Best division in football so far this year, the way that these teams are delivering. If the playoffs started today, all four AFC North teams would qualify for a postseason spot. Last year, we saw in the NFC East, they were the first division since 1997 to have three teams make the divisional round. No way or no doubt, it'll happen again. Three or more AFC North teams will make the playoffs.
No doubt three or more. I think all four would be a no way for me. I don't see if the Browns are going to need to play better offensively. They lost their starting left tackle and their starting right tackle. The one position, we see it with the 49ers losing Trent Williams. You lose your left tackle, there's nobody else to go to. It's hard. I mean, it's really a challenge, and there's not a lot of, I'll go play left tackle in a pinch for you and play well in the National Football League. They just don't grow them on trees. So that's an issue. And I don't think the Browns, as good as they are on defense, with all the injuries on offense, I don't know if they can do that. You know, I do think Cincy, the way they're playing the last 4 weeks, is really good. Pittsburgh, I mean, it's so ugly that how do you count them out? They find ways to win. And then, of course, I think the best team is Baltimore. The way they're playing is they're complete. They can beat you running, throwing, and their defense is playing really well.
I think it's interesting that the team that you went harder on about potentially not being a playoff team was the Browns over the Steelers, who my favorite stat of the season – outgained every single game this season, yet won 5 of the 8. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Okay, we are
remarkable,
one.
Right? And they play in a team this week that, you know, that they'll do the same thing.
Yep.
I mean, look, one thing we know about Jordan Love, right? You know, whenever he gets pressure, he has trouble. And the Steelers have the ability to pressure the quarterback all the time. And when they do that, they're really good.
Between you and Mike Somich, we are slowly but surely just forcing my hand that I'm going to have to lay 3 points and bet the Steelers this week against Green Bay.
I wouldn't do it. I think it's a trap. I think it's a little bit of a trap. I was that way this morning when I was writing my notes for the day, and I think it's a little bit of a trap. I think it's one of those they want you to take. Why isn't it moving to 3.5? There's no money coming in on Green Bay. Why is it moving to 3.5? Like, I don't know. It seems, whenever I've learned this in 5 years, when it seems too easy, it's never easy.
All right. I want to bet it, though, now. We've got some decision-making to be had here in the short term. Okay, one offseason now removed from the New York Giants signing Daniel Jones. 4 years, $160 million on that deal. You already know the buyer's remorse is just... it's very, very real.
Now, they don't have buyer's remorse. They're happy. I'm just telling you, this is a misread by people. We all think they do. They don't. I don't think there's a person in that building that has buyer's remorse.
So I'm going to follow that up then with our no way or no doubt. I was saying I feel like they do have buyer's remorse. Their quarterback's just tore his ACL. Going to be a while till he gets back. No way or no doubt. The Giants need to select a quarterback with their first-round pick in 2024.
There's no doubt they do. There's no way they will.
Ah. What an answer.
There's no doubt they do. There's no way they will. They see this. They got $36 million guaranteed in them. They'll sit there and say, we'll bring him back. We'll add another player. Put him on the team. Things will go perfect. We already got him signed to a contract. Why would we give up on him? Look, one thing we know for sure. We knew John Mara loves him. We knew every Mara family member in the organization loved him. So what we didn't know was, and the reason they didn't pick up his fifth-year option was, could they convince Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to love him? And they did. They fell in love. So now they got Love Boat over there. They got everybody in love with him.
Michael,
why do you think they're going to change now?
My brother and I were texting earlier this week, and he hit me with the Daniel Jones got paid $20 million per touchdown this year. Good on him. Two touchdowns, yeah. Six picks for Daniel Jones.
Look, go back and look at how many views that video got where I said they had the disease of me and I got ripped and yelled at it. Everybody's happy in New York, except nobody's happy, right? Daniel Jones got his money. Barkley didn't get his, but he got some. Everybody else got paid. But now they don't have anybody. Nobody's happy.
Giants 2-7. They currently sit in the fourth position for next year's NFL draft. And as far as we know for now, the Tommy DeVito show, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, not often when we think
get
about
your
the Kansas
shine box.
Yep, not often when we think about the Kansas City Chiefs, Michael, are we thinking, at least historically, about their defense being the better unit. This year it's different. Travis Kelce telling reporters after the Dolphins win, I can probably tell you halfway through the season, this is the best defense I've ever played with. Patrick Mahomes says they might be the best defense in the league. What do you think? No way or no doubt, the Kansas City defense is the best it has been during the Chiefs' early dynasty.
No doubt it is by far. Now, here's what I would say. The Miami Dolphins could potentially be like the Chiefs. They could get that defense to the level that the Chiefs defense is with Ramsey back and their front seven. They could get there and with their Vic Fangio. They might have to change what they do offensively. But I do believe that Miami, the way they play defense against Kansas City and the way they can play defense, I think Miami could duplicate exactly what Kansas City's model is. People think we're offensively a great team, but really we're set by the defense.
Very, very interesting. Another stellar edition of No Way or No Doubt on a Thursday. Fun stuff as always. Unfortunately, though, that one bet on Minnesota I wanted to make, our boy Michael says no. Stormy, step aside. Same thing with the Steelers. I just can't win today.
Actually, you know what, though? You should, because I just looked at the standings. Tell me what team's going to be the seventh seed. Who's going to be it?
Uphill sledding. Their schedule
no.
is favorable.
Atlanta, no. Tampa. No, there's nobody. Who are you taking in there? I mean, it's a fight to get the first pick. I'll take that back. No
Vikings.
Doubt they'll make it.
Yes. There we go. We got Mike Palm coming up next. Should we take this team, even though we thought we were saving them for Christmas, in Survivor?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check on the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand at any given time. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now. You'll get access to everything we do through May 1st, only $120. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can do it. We are back here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN alongside the one and only Michael Lombardi. Excited to welcome in, as we always do on a Thursday, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, Mike Palm, who we were just talking in the commercial break. Like, you always do a wonderful job on Follow the Money Thursdays with no hyperbole, but today was excellent job today.
I knew when I looked down at my phone at the break after the B block and I got a message from Thomas Gable, about how touching and well done that story was. And actually, as I was writing it, and I didn't go to bed last night, Michael, because Derek and I were with all the Padres executives till about 1:30 in the morning at Legacy Club.
Rough life.
So I'm sitting at the kitchen table about 3:15 writing this, finishing up, no hyperbole, and I had about 45 minutes to write this story. I was actually thinking of Thomas Gable, and one of the no hyperboles I had done a couple of years ago about Pompano Park closing and how he had called me that morning and said how impactful that was watching that and that that was a story that needed to be told. And I was actually thinking about Thomas Gable as I was writing this Cody's Wish story this morning.
Really, really well done. It was beautiful, and it,
Great work, Mike.
My eyes water watching it. Let's get to a little bit of football because I'm excited catch up on the Survivor update, Circa Millions update. We've obviously got Thursday Night Football coming up tonight, which is just what an incredible matchup we have today.
But it's interesting from a betting perspective in a couple ways, I think.
Oh, it is.
Let's talk about it from Survivor because I'd love to get Michael's angle. There's a guy that did a great job breaking down Survivor and what's left and what people options they have. Michael, there's still five people that have 10 entries left. Pretty amazing. Wow. Three that have eight and six, four.
That's unbelievable.
Obviously, the majority have one. There's an average of 1.4 per person that's still in it. But here's the thing. 1,153 entries. 397 of those have both Dallas and Detroit still left. If you were in that spot, Michael, with both those teams left, would you take the free square with Dallas this week against the Giants and be confident enough to go into Thanksgiving taking the Lions over the Packers?
You know, I think I would. I definitely would take the Cowboys this week. I think Survivor, the title of the show indicates exactly what you must do is survive. And when you can get a sure thing, you know, you better take it. And I don't know if you can get a more sure thing than this week against the Giants. I was just looking up like the biggest point spreads in NFL history. I mean, there were some 24s. I think when the Patriots in 2007 played a game, there was a big spread. So I think for sure I would do that. I think, look, Green Bay isn't a good team. I mean, especially on the road with Jordan Love. I think they can pressure Jordan Love, and I think they'll move the football. So it'll be a close game, obviously. But, you know, when you're in this part of Survivor, you're going to have to struggle it out. I mean, the Cowboys, there's no gimme putt that they're going to be able to win that game either. So I would definitely take the Cowboys this week and just move forward and just go with it.
I fear
that would be my other option. What else could I play?
Yeah, I fear the Commanders a little bit. I think they're a feisty road dog in these spots because they can score points. They move the ball against just about everybody. Well, here, the reason I bring this play up is because I think most people would be on the Bengals at home to the Texans, but we've got these injuries in the wide receiver core. And so I think people might be hesitant to just say, oh, give me Cincinnati at home, thinking about they may be limited.
Right, and I like Cincinnati and the points, but it went to 7, it ticked back down to 6.5, and I don't know if Higgins is going to play. He was on the injury report. We don't think Chase is going to play. This is a team that's 31st in the National Football League in rushing attempts, so it isn't like, okay, we'll just run the ball against the Texans. Now, look, the Texans are not a great defensive team. Let's put that out there. I mean, and we know C.J. Stroud has played great. He's certainly not the MVP of the league, according to Big Danny O. But, however, he has played really well. But he hasn't played that well on the road. So I think the Bengals win. I don't want to take Houston, but I also am not sure I want to take Cincy.
How many people, and I think this will be a play, by how many, I don't know, will try to get by with the Bears tonight in Survivor?
I think if Justin Fields were playing, that you'd be more apt to want to do that. I'm not sure about tonight, though. I feel like you would be silly and you would be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't take Dallas this week. It just feels, in my mind, it feels like the no-brainer type of a pick. You even called it the gimme square, right?
Free square.
Like, yeah, the free square. That's what it feels like tonight. Or this weekend.
Michael, I want to ask you about...
I like the Bears tonight. I like the Bears tonight. Everybody is on the Panthers. I think the Bears... I think one thing I've learned, Mike, doing this, is that the perception of bad just permeates bad. Like, the Patriots are a bad team. Yeah, they're not a good team, but they don't have a good quarterback. The Bears' defense is healthy now, and they can play. They play run defense really well. I mean, when the Raiders went back in there, I can remember talking to myself, like, you're having a hard time running the ball on these guys. Yeah, we know that. You know, you got to throw it to win it. You got to spread them out. You got to be an empty. You got to force them to play zone, drop, spot, drop, and your quarterback's got to be really good with the ball. That's going to be hard on a rookie quarterback tonight.
In your mind, Michael, what difference should it make in the point spread having the good Shepherd instead of Justin Fields?
It didn't move the – well, I mean, it was 4 and it went down to 3.5, right?
We beat the market to 3.5 and nobody reacted. Like, it didn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, nobody was that worried about it. I thought the same thing, too, Mike. It's like, you know, if that – you've got Justin Field – because you know why? Because the good shepherd, he turns the ball over, and guess what? So does Justin Fields. Like, you're holding your breath. I put it in my column this week that if you go into Pro Football Reference, they have a bunch of different analytical numbers. They're a really good website. It's free. You could go in there, and there's one of the areas they call it success ratio, which is how do you they determine if you're being successful throwing the football or not, right? And when you see that, you say, okay, you look at the numbers and you see this number and you see Badgett's numbers at 53 being successful, which isn't great, but it's good enough. And then you look at Fields and he's at 38. Like, and the you guys in the book proved it. Like, there's really no difference. Meanwhile, people in the league or people, the media, oh my God, they don't have Fields. You know, like, that's the one thing this thing has taught me is the book has a more realistic, non-biased view of what's actually happening.
Well, when I said that I thought that more people would be more apt to take the Bears, like, that's not because that was my opinion that if Justin Fields was in, they were going to be in a much better position. But I just feel like from a public perception standpoint that you'd be more apt to want to buy in on them from there. I wonder for you, Mike, is there a week coming up where you expect we're going to get back to some of that carnage a little bit, where we have a team that really doesn't live up to expectations that a lot of people pick? Because the last, 3 weeks now, it's been very, very few people that have been left out.
Well, it's interesting because if you're going to have DeVito, right, it takes a couple bad teams. If you have two or three really bad teams, you can get through just playing against them. I don't know what's going to happen with Kyler Murray. I don't know what we're going to see. But I know if Arizona didn't have Kyler Murray, my God. I mean, and the Giants with DeVito are the same way. There is zero chance they can win a football game. So, and who knows what Kyler will be with all the rust and everything that's happened. But obviously, he gives them a better chance than what they had last week. That line went from 7.5 to 13 and should have kept going. So, I don't know. I told Mitch and Paul a month ago I thought there'd be 75-plus. And they laughed at me. How are there going to be 75-plus
people? To get all the way through?
I said, because I think Thanksgiving and Christmas are doable with Dallas, Detroit, and Philadelphia. Not necessarily even the Chiefs against the Raiders, but Dallas or Detroit on Thanksgiving and Philadelphia against the Giants. You can get through those two trick bag weeks. Now, the Sunday following Thanksgiving could stump some people a little bit. I think that might be the biggest challenge left. But I think there's going to be hundreds of people as we get into the final weeks.
I think the one thing that's different in Survivor for me, that's why I keep saying use your good teams early so you get through it, because later we know who the bad teams are, and you can play against the bad teams, you know, and you can play against, you got Tommy DeVito. I mean, look, if Washington were playing Tommy DeVito this week, you would use Washington in Survivor probably. I mean, how's he going to score points on you? Hell, he was having a hard time scoring points. I know they won at Illinois last year with him starting 13 games, but, geez, he threw for less than 60% completion. You know, I mean, so I don't want to pick on Tommy DeVito. It's not his fault he's the starting quarterback. It's the organization's fault for letting him be it.
With Tommy DeVito, why didn't Daboll elect to kick off in overtime? I don't know why you would want to get the ball at your own 25 in that spot.
I don't know why he just didn't go for it. His kicker was hurt, and he still kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
And nobody's called him out. Like, what's the deal here? Why would we do that?
You got to step aside. All I know is that I'm really sad that the Circa Millions quarter didn't start last week, because I went 5-0 last week, and instead it was the end of a quarter that's wasted. Done for. We'll be right back. Palms pressing 3 when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Where you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. You can check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a more informed better year-round. You can check out the betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni, and Mike Palm with you as we wrap things up on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line. It is time for Palm's Pressing Three big picture questions for Michael Lombardi.
Okay, Michael, let's start off with Josh Dobbs. Does Josh Dobbs, having been acquired just 5 days earlier from the Cardinals at the trade deadline and having not taken a practice snap with the Vikings, winning an NFL game on the road against a possible playoff team, highlight the power of simplicity in a playbook and game design?
1,000%. And it also highlights coachability, a kid that's going to come in. And it also highlights mental toughness. Because if you watch the beginning of the game, he looked like it was going to be a disaster. And you were going to say, what is he doing? He turned the ball over, got sacked for safety. Then he comes back out and he gets a fumble right into the defensive lineman's hands. And I think any other player would have folded their tent and gone home. And this kid, with the mental toughness that he had and the physical toughness that he had, he was able to overcome that. And then when you think and you look at the box score, Akers couldn't really run the ball 3-1 a carry. Neither could Madison. This kid carries it, I think, 7 times for 66 yards, 4th and 7. He breaks 3 tackles, jumps a building, and he gets the first down and he wins the game. I mean, like, seriously, this was impressive, but it's all those things that come together. His mental toughness, his physical toughness, the simplicity of what they were trying to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with repeating plays. How about that for a novel idea? Make them stop it. Don't you stop it. Like, repeat the plays. You know, it's one of the great things about the Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs used to say it all the time. We're just going to run the same plays from different formations. It's class, and it works. It works. And I think it proved it on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, who were celebrating and figuring that they could stop this kid from going 75 yards with no real understanding of the offense. And he did it anyway.
That's when the aerospace engineering degree comes in. The Pastronaut, as NASA has coined him, which I love.
Meanwhile, Kirk Cousins had 1st and goal at the 8 with the running clock and couldn't hear in his earpiece, so he didn't know what to do. I mean, 11-year guy in the NFL, right? So, I mean, same team. All right, question two, Michael, I'm sure you've discussed this week, but Michael K. asked your guy, Robert Saleh, why not give Trevor Siemian a shot and try to spark this stagnant offense? And he said, I plead the fifth. Of course, he's now backtracked, saying he's in complete alignment with upper management about keeping your boy in the starting role. What do you infer, though, his initial comments of I plead the fifth?
You know, Mike, I've been reading a lot about the Watergate and Woodward and Bernstein and their research into the whole All the President's Men with Robert Redford, how he developed the script and all that. And one of the things that comes across very clearly in their research is this non-denial. Okay. And where they would call the people up that were involved in Watergate and they would not deny it, but they denied it. And that's what he did. It's a non-denial. And so he denied that he's going to make a change, but he didn't really deny it. He wants to make a change. So basically what he did was he put it all on Joe Douglas. And so if I were Joe Douglas, I would have walked down to his office and said, like, this isn't your first press conference. Like, you're smart enough, or you should be, that you should be able to skirt it and say a lot of watery things but not answer the question. But when you plead the fifth, you now become a mafia boss. You now become Jimmy Hoffa in front of the Senate subcommittee hearings. You now become somebody who doesn't want to answer the question. And that makes you guilty. That says to everybody in this building, you don't want to play the quarterback. And now you got to go stand in front of your team and tell them. You got to go tell them. They don't believe you now. You can't plead the fifth with them. It's the absence of leadership. I'm so tired of listening to people tell me, oh, Saleh, he's doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. No, he's not. He wants everybody to feel sorry for themselves. He's trying to get you to feel sorry. Oh, woe is me. We've got this really good defense. How many times is he going to walk back what he says? He walked back that we dominated quarterbacks, and now he's walked back this. Like you said it. Stand with it. Stand with it. I think it's horrible. And I got to be honest with you. If I'm Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, is this what I want moving forward?
Michael, and you referenced it a little bit there. I don't understand how he sounded so stunned by the question. Like, you don't anticipate that question coming? You don't know how to answer that question? Especially with all of the PR folks in the world that are working for an NFL team to make sure you know every question that's coming at you. That's the most obvious one based on your offensive performance of this time. And you're stunned and you're pleading the fifth. That's what caught me off guard. Mike, so much has been made of this Jets team being a playoff team and Aaron Rodgers at the end of the season. If they lose to the Raiders this week, can we just end that narrative altogether? Finally?
So. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, but
that's
I don't,
what I need. I need to get it off my timeline.
I don't think they're gonna lose to the Raiders. So I could be wrong. All right, question three, Michael. Normally I am not fascinated by the first coach fired market, but I am right now. One is, can you find me a price on Arthur Smith? Mitch and Paul. I mean, why
well,
isn't
the first coach already fired? You mean next coach?
Yeah, the next coach fired. Why isn't Arthur Smith they said he wasn't even in the top five in the market, which I found stunning. I mean, they've drafted two guys in the top 10 they don't use. But anyhow, Michael, I want to go because of Belichick, right? And the situation with Bill Belichick, and I know you're a student of history, and I was thinking about the mid to late 80s in Dallas as Tom Landry and the Cowboys declined, and I was trying to draw the parallel. And the point I thought of was, as Bill is also the GM, he doesn't have a GM like Tech Schramm to shield him from a bum bright. He doesn't have somebody running interference to try to turn it around, somebody who's loyal to him. So he's a little bit exposed in that way. Does that make Bill eligible to get fired in season? Do you think Bob Kraft, after six Super Bowls, would do it in season if he was going to make a move?
You know, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, there's a lot of people that are reporting this that they must be getting it from somewhere, that it must be some kind of conversation, and it would be easy to stop. I mean, you know, Kraft's a public. He could come out and say, look, we're going to talk about it after the season. We're going to sit down, and Bill and I, we're going to talk about it. But there's all these leaks that are coming out, you know, and I think it's kind of funny and humorous that here's a guy that's won six Super Bowls, right? He's won six Super Bowls, and, you know, and Arthur Smith is 11-19-1 against the spread, and he's not very good as a head coach. I think he's 4-12. You know, he's ranks 134th out of 142 over the last 120 years as a head coach against the spread, and we never talk about that. And he just lost to a kid who just got picked up off the street and didn't even know the plays, and yet he's not on a hot seat, but the guy who won six Super Bowls is. It's all about the PR, and somebody's driving this PR train, so I don't know what to make of it. But here's what I would say. If you're Robert Kraft, you have to ask yourself one question. Do I want Bill Belichick to help repair the problems that are here, or do I think I could find somebody better? Or more importantly, do I want to run the team? Because right now he's running the team. Do I want to run it? Does my son Jonathan want to run it? And if that's the case, they have every right to do whatever they want to do. They own it. But for me, I don't know where you're going to get a better coach. Now, could they get better assistants? Probably. Could they do a better job in personnel? Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. But where are you going to get a better coach? I don't think you will. I think the problems are there. If you're defending Mac Jones, you're probably asking the wrong questions as it relates to Bill Belichick.
Fascinating. You know, Tech Schramm, maybe one of the most influential guys in all of football and making the game what it is today, and the innovations and his role on the competition committee. You know, he was the GM of the Rams.
No doubt.
The
and
Rams.
Mike, let me tell you one quick story about Tech Schramm. Tech Schramm's sitting in a car with Lamar Hunt negotiating the merger between the AFL and AFL and the NFL. He got that deal done. Meanwhile, Al Davis was back on Park Avenue signing all the players because he was preparing for war. That's why the Chiefs-Raider rivalry was so intense.
Ram, before the Cowboys, was GM of the Rams, and he hired a young fellow to be their PR director. You might have heard of him, Pete Rozelle.
Yep. How about that?
The history is so fascinating.
No better historians than we have on this show anyways, right? Well,
Tex Ram was really, he was amazing. And I think that's the problem. Nobody's defending the coaches. You know, and that we have a social media platform that's just running rampant. Typically, if you want your coach, all you can do is sit there and say it. Hey, look, We're going to evaluate this at the end of the year, but he's the guy I want to go with. I mean, Mark Davis never defended Josh McDaniels from the very first time he went to work there. You could say he was unhappy the whole time.
Great stuff as always. Michael, appreciate you hanging in. I know we had some technical difficulties earlier. We got through it. Mike Palm, Mike Somich, thank yous all around. We are going to take a break. Lombardi Line. Pablo Torre coming up next on DraftKings Network and the Sharp Money Crew here on VSiN.